Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
I'm happy to share the 11 o'clock hour on Saturdays with my best friend. And that is, we go out to Vegas and we bring in RJ Bell, pregame.com, to help us break it all down. What's up, RJ? How are you, buddy?
Well, you know, this is exciting because think about this. We're going to get, you know, we do a segment here on ESPN New York on Thursday. It's great. Right. It's Friday. We do one. It's great. But now we have an hour. An hour to deep dive. Make
so
some money.
So here's what's going to happen. We're going to get to really know you, like the ins and outs of what makes RJ Bell tick throughout the football season.
And that means my goal is for 55% of people to like me. That's it.
Because then you're a winner, right?
That's it. That's all you need to win.
There you go. All right. So are you cool? Like, we'll sprinkle some calls in during the hour and just have a lot of fun as we move forward here, right?
Absolutely.
All right. So 800-919-3776. If you're sitting there like, I love the Packers laying the 7.5, but I want the expert's opinion, that's what you do. You call us. RJ's going to give you the quick insight, and away we go. So 800-919-3776. So great NFL first weekend. We had the game the other night. Falcons should have won. They didn't. Eagles covered that game. But before we even get started with the NFL, and this, I look at the schedule, it's not a great college football weekend. Is there anything, any nugget, any piece of information that the college football public should know heading into this busy Saturday?
You know, I think what's important to understand in early season is the paradox, meaning on one hand, it's very important. On the other hand, be careful about each individual game. Because imagine if I told you, let's look at the Mets and pick a game in August and make that so important. Oh, look, the Mets won 7-3.
Why'd you have to use the Mets as the example?
Well, I couldn't just have
a Mets-free show. You had to bring up the Mets?
An implication that maybe not a great team that wins 9-0. Would you all of a sudden be thinking, well, let's forget about the other 120 games. This one game is going to tell us everything. But when it's 1-1, the tendency is to make it mean everything. And here's an amazing stat, and this applies this concept to both college football and pro football. When you're 5 or 6 games in a season, a professional handicapper still has over half of his opinion of that team based on his preseason perspective. So let's say I thought the Patriots, and I do, one of the best teams in the NFL. If they started 0-5, most people would be like, oh my, Patriots are horrible, one of the worst teams. A pro handicapper would say, okay, I thought they were the best. Now they've lost 5 straight games. Maybe I think they're the 10th best. Now, how can an 0-5 team be the 10th best team in this hypothetical? It's because you're still going to take what you believe in the preseason as a big chunk of your overall belief. And again, you might say that sounds absurd. Well, would the Mets winning 5 straight games in August completely cause you to change your opinion of them? No, those kind of streaks happen. Just in football, there's either 13 or 16 games. People tend to overreact to them. So in college, now that we've got one game behind the belt of most teams, if not all, don't overreact to that one game.
All right, 800-919-3776. You want to ask RJ a question on anything this weekend in the NFL or Monday night as well. I'm on Twitter at Rothenberg ESPN. RJ's on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Before we start, I want to really kind of, you know, run through all the games a little bit and be very interactive. Gambling is just legalized, as you know here. You've had it forever out in Vegas, but here it's just legalized. So there are a lot of people probably that this weekend are kind of setting up their season and putting their bankroll together and how much money that they're allowed to lose with their wife. Do you have any tips or insight as far as bankroll and if you have, you know, $300 for the season, how much you can bet and not to chase and what, you know, your limits and all that kind of stuff? Because I think, RJ, I think for a lot of people, this being legalized, this is kind of a new venture for a lot of people that are listening.
No doubt. And Jersey was at the forefront, the driver of legalization. And it was a long process. And it's kind of funny because there was pent-up demand. Now, obviously, a lot of people were betting when it was gray area, as we like to call it before, the barroom bookie, the online book, etc. Now, in certain states, Jersey being one of them, fully legalized. Funny thing is, Dave, I would make the case far more than half the bets made this weekend in Jersey, and I would make the case maybe 80% are still going to be in the gray market, because the gray market has certain advantages. So I think one of them is you don't have to post up. Yeah, exactly. See, there you go. We got a real batter here.
No, great.
That whole post.
I hope my wife's not listening.
Which segues into the idea that all bankroll theory, all the books, and there's a concept, if you're a little more inclined to math, called the Kelly criterion. If you really want to understand how a professional is going to try to assess his bet size, Kelly criterion, most people, that's just fantasy. The reality is people bet out of their pocket. What does that mean? How much do I have in my pocket today? How much do I need to spend? Okay, I'm going to take that I have to spend for groceries or whatever, put that in my left pocket, and then I'm going to bet out of my right pocket. That's how it happens with 90% of bettors. And even some pros, you might think, oh, a pro. Yeah, the top pros are thinking 3% of bankroll, but no. Even some pros that you might know their names are betting out of their right pocket. And here's my advice, and I'll keep it simple. Bet less games, bet less money. Now, listen, guys that have been pick-oriented before, the old school, sell your house, sell your car, sell your kids and bet this game. One time I heard on a score phone in the 90s, sell your kids and bet this game. It stuck with me, Dave.
Can you sell children? Is that
now,
legal?
Unfortunately, I think so. But, you know, I think he was being more metaphorical. But to me, those guys love to say action, action, inside information. You know, we got good stuff at pregame.com. Many others have good stuff. Here's what you got to be scared of. If someone says it's easy to win, run the other way, because it's not easy to win. It's very, because who would work? Right? If you could sit and watch sports, what guy would go grind on a job? Not many. So it's not easy. And thus, if you like seven games, pick the three you like best and play those. If you are thinking of betting $100, bet 50. Here's why. If you're betting too many games and too much money and you're losing, well, you could lose a ton of money. If you're winning, you're going to win anyway. It's just going to win less. So, yeah, I'd like to win more, but that doesn't sound like a catastrophe, winning less, right? But you're still winning. But
anything with winning in front of it sounds pretty good.
Exactly. But if you are in a losing spot and you don't know it, by betting more games and more, it can be a catastrophe. Protect the downside.
All right. Let's start to dive into some of these games. Now, the sheet that you send out every week, and we get it at ESPN, of course, for the three shows that you do, K-Show Thursday, our show on Friday at noon, and this show from 11 to 12 on Saturday, you give your best picks of the week. Walk us through maybe one or two of your favorite games this week.
Yeah, and I want to get your thoughts on these. And again, I think anyone listening to you, Dave, knows you understand the Vegas side quite well. I like the Bears. Now, for those listening, and this is a good promotion for the early week stuff, the Bears were 7.5 everywhere when we gave it out, and now it's moved to 7. Hmm. And that's another piece of general advice. If once you like a game, bet as soon as you can, because the theory is the line gets sharper coming towards kickoff. So the sharpest line is 5 minutes before kickoff. Why? Because everyone's had their say. There might be some really big bettor waiting till game day to bet, and he knows what he's doing. Once he bets, that line gets adjusted. So earlier equals better. The reason I like the Bears, and I still lean that way at 7. I've bet them at 7.5. I'm going to ask you a question. This has gotten a ton of pushback.
Go ahead.
I question Aaron Rodgers, and I question, is he still the clearly best quarterback in the NFL? And the one stat I'm going to use to make my case, yards per attempt. It considers completion percentage and how far you're throwing the ball. Two of the keys. Between 2009 and 14, 5-year period, Aaron Rodgers had the best yards per attempt in decades. Not the best that year, but in decades. Now, if you look from 15 onward, last 3 years, 25th in the NFL amongst his contemporaries. That number makes me really think, why aren't we hearing more talk about Aaron Rodgers dropping off?
Well, the only thing I'll say, RJ, and I totally respect your analysis and your numbers. I mean, the numbers are there. Is when you watch Aaron Rodgers, the eye test, he still passes it. And I think that's probably the answer. When he plays, they're still good. They still win. He makes players around him better. So I would think that's probably the rationale behind people, because in watching him, you give these numbers, and I can't argue with the numbers. I don't watch him and think, boy, this is a guy that's game is slowly sliding a little bit.
Yeah, but I guess it's all about, are we judging Rodgers objectively or relatively? Meaning he's still an elite quarterback. Let's say you're the super pessimist on Rodgers. You're very negative. No one's going to say he's not one of the five or six best quarterbacks. But isn't it a key distinction to be clearly number one versus being amongst the five or six? So the numbers tell me that, and I think it's something to bear watching. On the Bears side, I think they're excited. I think that Mac trade won't mean much on the field this week, but I think the energy of the owner, he thinks we can win this year. The GM thinks.
Well, their defense is good to begin with in Chicago. They have the rookie that they really like who's going to play in Roquan Smith, and they have Leonard Floyd. I mean, and they have Khalil Mack. They are a good defense to begin with. Now you add him. And again, the thing that makes me nervous about this game from the Green Bay perspective, RJ, and tell me what you think, is I don't know what Chicago is offensively. I know they have a new coach who they like. I know they have Trubisky who they like, but we really haven't seen a lot of that. They add Allen Robinson. They love Anthony Miller, the kid they drafted out of Memphis. They have a good running back. So they have the pieces that they could be good on offense and defense. And getting 7 points, that's why I would also be inclined to take the Bears this week.
No doubt. And you, last point, this is kind of a conspiracy theory. So let's acknowledge, I'm not sure about this, but this would be icing on the cake. If the Bears didn't go through a dress rehearsal in game three, they didn't play Trubisky. I was ranting and raving. It made no sense to me. Like, why doesn't Trubisky need these reps? He didn't have a great year last year, right? He's got potential.
Right.
Here's what I kind of uncovered. It was hinted at. Nagy has some schemes he's never shown before. Remember, he didn't really call the plays in KC except for a small portion of last year. I have a feeling he's holding it back. He went vanilla, Nagy did, with the Bears in the preseason. And there's going to be some formations and some schemes that Green Bay is going to be like, wow, what is this? And if the Bears just got one score because of out-scheming with these surprises, boy, that makes this a great bet. Not sure it's going to happen, but I'm going to predict the following. At some point during the game, the announcer is going to say, wow, doesn't look like Green Bay quite understands what the Bears are doing offensively. If we hear that, we've got a great bet with the Bears.
What are the odds that Al Michaels says, wow, it looks like the Packers don't understand what the Bears are doing offensively? Like 3-1?
I'll tell you this. Some variation of that amongst any of the announcers, I would probably take it at even odds. I think there's a real chance. Hey, let me ask you, Dave, you're a smart guy. What other reason could you have of not playing a healthy Trubisky in week three?
I have no idea, because I can see not wanting to play stars that are proven in week three.
Yeah.
But to play guys that probably need the reps in week three, it's got to be to hold something back, you would figure.
I think there's a decent chance.
Well, we're going to see. We have a lot to do. So 800-919-3776. We're going to run through the games. What other games does RJ really like? We got to get a take on the Giants and the Jaguars. We got to get a take on the Jets and the Lions as well. Money line against the spread, over-unders, all of it. So you can line them up at 800-919-3776. RJ Bell, founder of pregame.com. Now, he sets the exclusive odds, and pregame.com does, of what the AP comes out with every single week. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. All this coming your way. Plenty of time to play with. Want you involved. 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
RJ, you have a little college football trend you want to share with everyone?
Yeah, considering, and I love New York City. I always say that, but it's so true. Number two to me behind Vegas. I know you guys want to be one, but I do love Vegas. Yeah, a lot of financial guys, right? Wall Street and all that. Right. And, you have your technical analysis. Oh, it's a 52-week high and all that. Well, there's something analogous in sports betting, and they call them trends. And you got to be careful with trends because sometimes they can be deceiving. The real question is always, how applicable is the history to today. Well, here's an example in a game I think it really is. Kansas State hosts Mississippi State.
Game that kicks off on ESPN at noon today.
So this is very timely.
Yeah.
Now, Kansas State, Bill Snyder's the coach. In my opinion, he gets a lot of credit.
How old is Bill Snyder, by the way?
He's I think he's 77, 78.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and he's still grinding. Remember, he retired for a couple of years.
Yep, and came back there.
Catastrophe. And I actually, my best buddy, very best man at my wedding, was a punter on that team in 89 through 92. And, man, he was there right before Snyder came. Worst team in the country. They were making bowl games a couple of years later. Great coach. Here's an amazing stat. Last season, or the last seven seasons, when Kansas State has been an underdog, 27-9 against the spread. So Bill Snyder's the type where if his team isn't the favorite, if it's clear that they got to do something special, he tends to engender them, motivates them to do something special. Considering Kansas State looked horrible last week, they still won, but they looked horrible against an overmatched opponent, I think it's extra motivation. So it's bouncing back. And home, remember, the Little Apple, quite a good home field. I do like Kansas State, plus the 9, and the system, the history, backs that up.
All right, and Bill Snyder, by the way, will be 79 years old on October 7th. It's amazing that he's still coaching major.
Well, here, Dave, remember this. Remember this. Today is the youngest you will ever be.
That's very negative.
Or positive. Or you can embrace it.
How is it positive? I'll never be 45 and whatever.
Exactly. So you've got to enjoy it when it's here.
I'm doing the best I can. Spending with you is not terrible. All right. Justin in Toms River. Justin, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. Love the show. A couple questions for you. Do you like the Jets over 5.5 wins on the season? I like the Jets getting 6.5 on Monday night. I like the Rams getting giving 4 on Monday night. What are your thoughts?
Okay, so here's one thing. If you're
three-headed monster, this question. Go ahead.
If you're betting your home team, you got to be careful because you're going to have a bias, right? We all know there's favoritism. I'm a big Steelers fan. I love the Steelers. But I make a point to track when am I betting on them and when am I betting against them. And what I found is I do much better when I bet against them, which means if I'm able to overcome my natural bias to favor my team, boy, they must really be in a bad spot. So piece of advice might be if you're a Jets fan, if you're a Giants fan, if you like them, maybe make a mind bet. Write it down on a piece of paper, see what happens. If you don't like them, maybe take off the rubber band because it's a good sign that you've overcome your inherent bias. Quickly on the Rams. One of the things we'll talk about, Dave, this year, pros versus Joes. The pros are the Vegas guys, professionals. The Joes are the average recreational bettors, betting at the barbecue in between flipping the steaks, right? Sounds fun, but not super savvy. The Rams are the squarest, Joeyest bet of the week. Why? Because road favorites tend to look short. Oh, they're only favored by 4? Raiders aren't that good. What's Gruden know? Okay, I get it, and I'm not saying the Rams are wrong, but be careful if you and everyone's on the same side because you got to know the average bettor does not win. So if you're betting with the average bettor, it's going to be hard to win.
All right, thanks for the call, Justin. Appreciate it. 800-919-3776 on Twitter, at Rothenberg ESPN. You mentioned kind of staying away from the home teams, and unless you really like them or really anti them, maybe it's a game you want to stay away from. But you know that people love to bet the locals, and they're certainly on. You get to see them every week. We talked about them nonstop here on 98.7. What is your take on, and I guess we start with the Giants?
One of the sharpest plays of the week, Giants. But here's a very important concept for week one. Week one's the hardest week to win if you're betting the week of the game.
And is that because we just don't know enough about the teams right now?
No, Dave, I think that can be an advantage. There's two types of handicappers. The math guys, the data guys, and the second type is the gut feeling. Hey, I know football, I know basketball, whatever sport it is. Hey, that cornerback, you know, like Peter, let's say Peter's going from KC cornerback to the Rams. How's it going to do? Some people know, well, Peters is mighty good. I wonder what his intangibles are going to be in that locker room. That's that kind of ESPN TV level. And when I say TV, I mean the guys watching, not the talking heads on there. They're
right.
Thinking they know he's good. But then the next level is, well, wait a minute. And I'm going to speak hypothetically here. The Rams play press coverage. Peter just doesn't do so well in press. And they don't really cover the slot so much. You know, that kind of next level stuff, that's where the guys that have that ability really thrive early in the year because they don't have the data, but they can project. So, but there's another reason or a key reason I don't like week one. It's because these lines have been out since April. If you would have liked the Giants against the Jags in April, you would have been plus 4.5 points. If you would have bet the Giants a month ago, 1 month ago, plus 3.5. Now it's plus 3.
So the money's on the Giants.
Money, the sharp money is on the Giants. But the difference between 4.5 and 3 is the difference between winning 50% of the time if you're plus 3 and like 56 or 7 if you're plus 4.5. That is the difference between the guy that does have that straight 40-hour-a-week job and the guy out here living with a mansion and a yacht that doesn't have a boss. It's really just a couple of points. And if you don't understand that, you're never going to win.
All right, but the Giants are plus 3. That's where we are right now. That
true.
being said, would you
lean
avoid
that
game, or do you still like the Giants?
I lean that way. I lean Giants, and here's why. I think that the Jags are mighty good on D. I think there's been too much backlash for Bortles. Oh, they got lucky last year. Well, not really. I mean, they were one play away from going to the Super Bowl?
Yep.
How different would this – think about the Saints, for example, or let's use the Eagles. Atlanta, not on Thursday, but in the playoffs at Philadelphia, first and 10, inside the 10, first and goal, they had a 60-plus percent chance to win that game. If Atlanta had knocked out Philly in the divisional round, how different would the narrative be about Philly right now?
Be unbelievably different. They still never would have won. The world would be a better place, and I think we'd all have bigger smiles on our faces.
I hear you there. But as a Steelers fan, I feel a little competitive, too, with Philly. But the fact of the matter is, those coin flip situations can swing a narrative so much. Well, don't we see the other side of that with the Jags? The Jags were a play away, a reasonable play away, from the Super Bowl, and they could have easily won. So I am not anxious to fade the Jags. But I do like the Giants. But let me give you a pro tip on this game. I think if any team gets up by 10 in the first half, I love that team. Because the Jags, if they get up 10, play exceptionally well from the lead. They like to run the ball.
And then the Giants become one-dimensional also.
And the Giants get tight. Let's be honest. The whole offseason, it's been, last year stunk, but it was an aberration. It was a fluke. Eli's still fine, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm not so optimistic about Eli, but if they get down 10, you know they're going to feel it, right? Now, if the Giants get up 10, Jags struggle coming back because Bortles doesn't throw well from behind, and Giants are feeling good. Yeah, we were right. We're fine. So to me, you can bet in-game, and if you have that option, I'd sit back, wait till there's a 10-point lead, and then back the favorite.
All right, 800-919-3776. You can throw your questions towards us, RJ Bell, Dave Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN, on Twitter, at Rothenberg ESPN, and RJ is at RJ in Vegas. So plenty to do, still 30 minutes to play with. We'll go through more games, give you more advice, stats, analysis, all of it right here on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Let's go around the league quickly. Want to get to the calls as well, 800-919-3776. Before we go around the league, and you can say, look, I have no interest in this team. I love this team. I wouldn't touch this game. Anything like that. Give us your insight on the Jets and the Lions on Monday night.
I actually like the Lions a good bit. There's a contest called the Super Contest, which is like the World Series of Poker for NFL handicapping. Now, our senior NFL guy actually is the only guy to have won that twice. His name is Fezzik. I'm in the contest with Fezzik this year. And one of our picks, because we feel like it's a little contrary, and we like to do something that's not obvious if we think it's going to win, is the Lions. And here's the thinking. And let me be clear. I'm pretty optimistic about the Jets in general.
Right.
And I think Darnold is going to have a heck of a career. But if you look at, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners watched a bunch of the preseason, and I'm sure you did too. So let me ask you, Dave. Darnold didn't throw downfield. They made
a decision.
No, I think
they were very vanilla with him. They wanted to make him conservative and look good. And I think they did. I think he was conservative and looked pretty good in the preseason.
If you look at yards per attempt, Darnold was 83 in the preseason, ranked 83. So do the math, 32 teams, it's almost times three. He's at the very bottom of that list. But his completion percentage and all that were great. I think it can work at home against a team that the Jets are competitive with. On the road against a superior team in a dome on Monday
first
night.
First ever start, right.
Yeah, and remember, I read this in the Post yesterday. Jets offensive line, I didn't know this, did not play a single snap together during the preseason. So we know O-line needs cohesion. They need experience. I think soon enough they're going to have it, but this first game I think is a bad spot. I like the Lions.
All right, so you would if diehard Jets fan listening said, you know, I just want to put a little money in the Jets, make it more fun or interesting or exciting, you'd say, save your money and don't bet on this game.
Or bet and understand that it's recreational. My favorite way to explain this is this. I love movies. Love them. I see maybe six a month in the theater. I never have more money leaving the theater than I had coming in. But I enjoy it. It's a trade-off. If you accept, I'm going to play the Monday night games, I'm going to play my favorite team, just understand you're going to lose in the long term about 5% of what you bet. That's the hold percentage, the theoretical, they call it. So if you, Dave, think about it. Let's say you bet three games a weekend for $100. And you say, RJ, yeah, he sounds kind of smart, but forget him. I'm doing what I think is right. Let's say that you're just wrong. Let's say you're like a drunk baby flipping a coin. It's going to be 50%. That's it. Well, you're going to lose $15 a week on average. Mm-hmm. Now, on any given week, you might win or lose, but you're going to lose 5% of 300, $15. So you're going to lose $60 a month. That is one movie with the partner and maybe a big popcorn. So to me, that's a fair trade-off. The trouble is, if you think you're a winner and you're betting amounts like an investment when you're not betting like a winner, that's what you got to not do.
All right, so he likes the Lions laying the 6.5. Let's run through the games, and we'll do it as quickly as we can at 800-919-3776, at Rothenberg ESPN on Twitter, at RJ in Vegas as well. You think the Chargers are overrated this year, don't you, as they go up against the Chiefs in Week 1?
I think they're the most overrated team in the NFL, and here's why, and I'll make it quick. There's a narrative, and we know in social media, 24 hours, news cycles, that whatever everyone's talking about, people tend to believe. Well, what they were talking about last year about the Chargers was, man, they had a bad field goal kicker. Thank God they got rid of him. And if he would have made those two kicks, Chargers win two more games. Okay, fine. But there's more than that to luck in a season. What is luck? Turnovers, injuries, close games, yes, and strength of schedule. And if you actually look, and I do this up on Twitter, I blend those four categories into a luck adjustment number, and the Chargers were the ninth luckiest team in the NFL. So the idea that they were so unlucky last year is just not true. And because of that narrative, I think everyone's high on the Chargers. And here's how I can quantify that. Lastly, if you look at my luckiest teams, all the way down to number 18, my 18 luckiest teams last year are all supposed to win less games this year than they won last year. So let me give you an example. Luckiest team, Philadelphia. They won 13 games last year. Entering this week, before Thursday, they were projected to win 10.5. That was the over-under. Because everyone understands, they got lucky. They were a good team, but they got lucky, and thus less games. The only team of the top 18 lucky whose number didn't go down was the Chargers. Chargers, ninth luckiest. They won last year 9 games, and they're projected to win 9.5 this year. That's BS. I love Kansas City plus 3.5.
All right, so you love the Chiefs in this game. And it's so funny because so many people we've spoken to are so completely opposed to that. But here's a pro's pro giving us, excuse me, the insight. Bengals and the Colts, the return of Andrew Luck. Give me, like the Bengals, like the Colts, love one of them, or stay away from this game.
if you can get three, and three is the most key number in the NFL because that's the margin that happens the most. If you can get three, I love Cincinnati. One of my favorite picks. Here's why. If Andrew Luck is completely healthy, I think three is the right number. If Andrew Luck isn't, Cincy plus three is a great bet. And I think there's a real chance he is, and here's why. And I'm sure you, Dave, I know you grind. Andrew Luck hardly threw downfield the whole preseason. Now, if you miss pretty much the last 2 years and you're getting reps in the preseason, are you going to throw downfield? He was ranked 59th in yards per attempt in the preseason, Andrew Luck. Now, let me ask you one more question. Conspiracy theory. Cue the X-Files. All right, here it is.
Uh-huh.
Why haven't the Colts traded Jacoby Brissett?
You think it's just in case?
I think if you have a backup, what did the Jets do with a quarterback they had, Bridgewater, that people wanted?
Yeah, they moved on from him. I get it.
Right, because if you have a backup that people want and will give you a third rounder for, you can't pay that guy to sit on the bench unless you don't like your, and you can't not have that number three, for example, unless you don't like your starter. Well, if the Colts, you know they like Andrew Luck. The only reason to not take that draft, what's the rumor? Brissett was for a number two, the same as Jimmy G? And they say, no, thank you. We're going to keep him. Boy, I think it's a sign that there's health issues with Luck.
All right, 800-919-3776. Let's move rapid fire through our callers in some of these games. Ben in Brooklyn, you're on 98.7.
Hey, I want to ask you guys about the 80-20 public rule. How important is it? Is it like just if you're on the fence about something, go against the public, or should you really look at that public?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Brooklyn, top of the food chain, as they say. That's a good question right there. Is the up at pregame.com, we have the bet splits on every game for free. All right, so you can see what percentage of bettors are on one team or the other. If there's a majority, like we said, that's the fanny pack crowd, that's the pot bellies. If they're betting one team, what happens is that team gets expensive. And because of that, going with the 20% or less, the team that's less popular often's a good bet because you're getting that team cheap because the other team is popular and expensive.
And there's your answer, 800-919-3776. By the way, the pork chop tweets in, like a drunk baby flipping a coin, maybe the greatest line ever. He really appreciates that one. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to kind of go rapid fire through every game. Like it, love it, stay away from it, whatever your take is, and get to as many calls as we can, too. 800-919-3776. Bills, Ravens, Vikings, Niners, all the games. We'll do it next right here. Rothenberg and Bell with you, 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
For Rothenberg and RJ Bell with you, 98.7 ESPN, breaking down the week one gambling odds and the numbers and the stats and the trends. Rapid fire, RJ. What do you say? You want to do it right here?
I'm ready, baby.
All right, let's go. We have 5.5 minutes to run through as much as humanly possible. Texans, Patriots, Texans getting 6.5 points. Run through why you like Houston in this one.
I like Houston because I believe Deshaun Watson, when he's on the field, amazing last year. Fifth best offense when he was on the field. 32nd best last when he wasn't for Houston. Belichick takes the first month of the season like an extended preseason, which means not quite as good as they are in December. Houston plus 6.5.
All right. Bills at the Ravens. I think the Bills are going to be a horrendous football team. And we know that Flacco, and you had the stat earlier, doesn't love to throw the ball deep downfield. But his receivers are better this year in John Brown and Michael Crabtree. And Nathan Peterman, last time we saw him, he was hideous in a regular season game. Ravens given 7.
The Peterman incident is what we call it. And it was like a crime scene.
Oh, terrible.
He did look better in the preseason, and I know it's preseason, but that's something. I lean Ravens, but here's a great tip. Big favorites, touchdown or more in the NFL, it's dog or pass. I can't play the dog here because if you look at the Ravens versus inexperienced quarterbacks, last two seasons against rookies and backups, 8-3 straight up versus every other quarterback, 7-13 straight up. Ravens feast on these kind of quarterbacks. I'm going to pass it.
All right, I'm going to ask you one off the board real quickly, and we'll get right back to these games. A ton of people are in survivor pools where you have to take one team a week, and you can only take that team once. This week, is it Ravens? Is it Saints? Is it Packers? Where do you go?
Here's the trick. Go to any, you know, newspaper has the odds. Go to websites, whatever. Get the odds and find the two or three biggest favorites of the week. That's exactly who you should be betting because Vegas is telling you they have the best chance to win. Now, here's how you get a little more nuanced. Obviously, if you've already used that team, you can't use that one. So eliminate that one. But look ahead at their schedule and project. Do they have a much, much easier game? So let's say last year when the Browns were clearly the worst team, the Steelers might have been favored by 9 at home against a below-average team, but you knew they were going to be 16 or whatever once they got Brown. So if you have two or three big favorites to choose from, look ahead at their schedule and see if there's any clear spot where they're going to be even a much bigger favorite. Save that team and go with another one of the few big favorites that week.
All right, 49ers at the Vikings. Vikings giving 6. Everyone loves Minnesota to have a monster season. Jimmy G and that, you know, he's never lost a game starting in the NFL. Where do you go? Vikings laying 6.
I lean Minnesota. I'm optimistic about the 49ers. I think Shanahan's a great coach. And what we're seeing is these young, innovative coaches, McVay with the Rams, really move the needle. And it's impressive. But here's why I like Minnesota a little in this game. They won 13 games last year, but they were the 16th most lucky team or luckiest team. Now, the teams below them, and I'm going to read it fast, this was how many wins they had below them on the luck factor. 9-7-5-6-7-5-5-5-4-7-0-3-6-6-5-4. So imagine Minnesota won 13 and only one of the other teams below them, half the league, were able to win even more than 8 games. One team won 9, which shows you luck means so much. Minnesota wasn't lucky, and they still won 13 games. Last thing about them, Pro Football Reference ranks players 8-plus or more. It's just a ranking system they have. An average team has a little less than 7 of those players. Minnesota has the most in the league, 14. Minnesota's much better than people think. They're just not football sexy. Well, that's what the public likes, and I go the other way. I like Minnesota.
All right, Titans, Dolphins, Titans laying 1.5. I see in your notes, which is amazing. They made the playoffs with a negative point differential, which is unbelievable. Where do you go, Titans, Dolphins tomorrow?
And so did the Bills last year. Two teams. It's amazing. I actually like Miami a good bit here. It's not against Tennessee as much as thinking Miami was better than people thought last year, and I think it's an upgrade from Tannehill, from Cutler. Maybe on the field it's close, but boy, in the locker room with leadership. So I think you get a Miami team, coaching continuity. There's a sensor trending in the right direction. Home dog, Dolphins.
All right, last one for you, because people love to bet this team or against them, but be involved in every game they play, and that's the Cowboys. They're on the road in Carolina. What are they getting, 3? Is that the number?
Yes. That feels just right. I think both teams have real questions. Can the Cowboys make enough plays on offense? I mean, people think Dez is gone. Well, he wasn't really making plays anyway. But who are the playmakers? Big question mark. In Carolina, remember, whenever you have a new offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator, be careful with that team early in the year. How many times, Dave, do you hear that team say, oh, you know, week 9, we're finally starting to get this after a big win? Well, why didn't you tell us in week 1 you weren't getting it, right? They never say that. So Turner's there as the OC. I think it's going to take Cam a little while. I would have the smallest lean to Dallas, but I think the line is right. And remember, to close this week, home favorites when the teams are even are 3. That's the typical home field. So this is saying these are even teams.
All right, there you go. RJ, awesome stuff. We'll do it again next Saturday at 11 o'clock. Enjoy week 1. RJ in Vegas on Twitter. He founded pregame.com. We love you. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much, buddy.
Great stuff. Thanks, Dave.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.